Norris State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott right here on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It's 7:06. It's Monday. And it's raining, but Linda will get to that. Hope you had a great weekend. Looks like the streams are running and the lake is full, which bodes for great success this summer and our season with tourists. Hey, good morning to the show, and thanks for tuning in. We're joined today by Bad Bob.
And good morning, and you know, cloudy skies, no problem. It's spring is here, and we'll be wishing for cloudy skies soon enough.
Well, I think by the rest of the week, but Linda will address the weather. And speaking of Linda, here she is.
Well, good morning. It says it's going to be a high of a 54, and it's currently 53. Does that mean we're only going to get 1 degree? So it's going to kind of remain the same. That's kind of a weird forecast, but that's what our weather service is telling us. It's going to be, of course, rainy and chance of thunderstorms today. There's going to be a southwest wind between 8 and 13 miles per hour with gusts up to 21. Be careful. Tonight is going to, there's going to be a 30% of chance of showers again before 11 p.m., so with a low of around 41. Now, we want to start our day by saying thank you to Country Kitchen. They're our newest sponsor that's come on board. And Carl and I love to go over there. In case you haven't checked it out, they have a brand new remodel. We've known Charlie and Lynn Moss for 17 years. They're celebrating their 70th anniversary, and in doing so, they've Country Kitchen. They've remodeled, and it's really a wonderful. It's a wonderful job. It's a great place to go have breakfast. Everything's cooked from scratch, and so we just want to start off the day by that, and I hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day.
They have an in-premises bakery that just when you walk in, it just smells great.
I know.
And they have those homemade soups from special recipes.
Now, Diane does a great job. She always is in the kitchen.
Country Kitchen.
Trying to
north of
come
Macy's.
Up with something that's going to make your spurs.
Yeah. North of Macy's on Hilltop.
That's right.
Hey, it's a great place to go to. It's a great place for breakfast or lunch.
So we hope that you have had a wonderful Mother's Day yesterday. I'm sure there were so many reasons to be grateful. Today, I know for me, my mother's birthday is today, and she is a very young 77. Any of you who have met my mother would never, ever, ever imagine that she was 77. 77 years young, and she had a bout with her health this last year, so we're so grateful that all is going well. In fact, they're going on a cruise over Christmas and New Year's, and congratulations to them. Hope you had a great Mother's Day, and we came back. We were out of town in Sacramento. We came back yesterday to something that was really special.
And that's going to be coming up later in the show. But, you know, if you just heard the news, it said that, of course, President Obama is nominating another Supreme Court justice. And he's going to nominate the Solicitor General, Elena Kagan, to the Supreme Court. Now, when they described it, as President Obama stood there and his nominee stood to the left of President Obama, I couldn't help but laugh, because how could anybody stand to the left of President Obama and still be in the picture, right? We're just starting to read up on it now, and I'm sure there will be plenty of, there'll be just a plethora of information on Ms. Kagan. She's not married. She did have one vote or one stand that is causing veterans some consternation, is that she said that the military ROTCs, a recruiter, should not be allowed on campus because they do not allow gays to serve openly in the services, and she signed on to that one. But there are other, this is not a one-trick pony type of selection. The other thing, too, is that whoever that Obama nominates to fill the spot is going to be a liberal, because the one they're replacing is a liberal. So far it's just, you know, exchange one for another. The question is how liberal? And the question is how much of a fight does Obama want to get into during this midterms? Because I tell you what, we have somebody on this morning at 7:30 that's going to talk about midterm elections that's pretty good at it. He's going to talk about the state of the economy and what's going on. Carl Rove was our guest yesterday, and we recorded a 15-minute interview with him that we're going to play at 7:35 today. I know you're going to find it interesting. He was, of course, in town for a fundraiser and for a campaign breakfast for Jim Nielsen today. So when we come back, when we get there to our 7:30 hour, we're going to be talking about that. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Shasta.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. We've had emails from people as far away as Nova Scotia saying that they're listening to the show. You know, I'm still waiting for that one from, you know, Dubai or, you know, someplace in the South Pacific. You can send emails to Linda at linda@kcnr1460.com, and we try to address every email or, of course, all the phone calls as we're coming in. We've got a lot of things going on this week.
Well, you know, it's rodeo week, obviously, and the Cowboys are out in full force. Today, Special Kids Day is at 9 a.m. on the rodeo grounds. Will be a great, and it's the golf tournament today at 12 o'clock.
Maybe
April
a little
Hill.
Soggy out there today.
Yeah, but you know, diehards play in any kind of weather.
Well,
so
the only problem
I'm
is
sure.
when you put that club up in the air during thunderstorms, it can be a conductor straight down to through your bottoms
might
of your feet. But you know, this week's going to be big with chili cook-offs, and of course. I understand there could be a bank robbery tomorrow. So if you hear gunfire going on. Be prepared.
We have two tickets right now that we're giving away. That's two tickets for the 62nd annual Reading Rodeo. That's for Thursday night. Two tickets right now. 605-4567. That's the hotline here. If you want to go to the Thursday night rodeo, the beginning opening night at the rodeo grounds, that will be it. We're also going to be out there for the pancake breakfast. On Friday, that's right, we're going to be broadcasting live. That should be a lot of fun at 12,000 of your closest friends. They said 10, but I think it's going to be 12 this year. And so come out and say hello to us now. Again, we've got two tickets for Thursday night's rodeo free right here. We're giving away 605-4567.
Okay, it looks like a group of Reading Tea Party Patriots have banded together. You know, especially when you say Tea Party Patriots, and use the term band together, that's really, you're being redundant, because they pretty much have banded together when they joined that organization. But they want to gather signatures for the November ballot to make the city clerk a purely elected position. If you remember when they came back a few months ago and the staff said, oh, it's a bad idea to have the city clerk as an elected position. We want to make it a appointed position by Kurt Starman, our city manager. And the people really pitched a fit, including us. We said, you know, why do you want to take away an elected position and give it again to a staff member to make that choice? That the choice of the people should be paramount over the choice of an appointed or somebody that's hired on, even though they're supposed to be looked over by the city council. Anyway. What it would do is the city clerk needs, they're saying is the city clerk needs complete autonomy from the top administration to prevent abuses of power. And this was Gary Cadd, who, by the way, is running for council in November. He's helping to set this thing up. And the council voted 3-2 on Tuesday to codify the hybrid city clerk. Now, what they're doing is you have an elected clerk, which is kind of like, you know, signs of things and is the, quote, overseer gets paid $7,500. Where indeed the appointed clerk makes about $75,000. The elected clerk also served as the appointed top administrator up until last year when Connie Strohmeyer retired, and the council named City Attorney Rick DeCovey to her post. And the city needs to keep elected and appointed positions separate in case voters elect a clerk unqualified to act as a department head, a council majority said Tuesday. Now, okay, so the voters are not smart enough to pick out somebody that's not qualified. Well, okay, We've made mistakes, and I can look around and see those. But as Mary Stiegel said, and I just love what Mary Stiegel says, we've been fortunate enough in the city of Reading that the person that was elected city clerk was also very capable of filling the full-time position of the administrative position, said Council Mary, Council Member Mary Stiegel. However, it's very possible that the next election that Bozo the Clown could get elected to the city clerk position. Bozo the Clown. Well, first of all, that's an insult to Bozo the Clown. We talk about some of the politicians that we have voted in the past, and you could probably say that they were a few clowns short of a full circus. But then again, look at the ones we have elected in with all of their good graces. What have they done? You know, we're in the whole $27 billion in the state level. We can't, every time we turn around, we have cuts on our, in our budget because of lack of businesses, lack of taxes. And why is this? You know, to, you know, for the city council and the staff to say, hey, you know, we may elect Bozo the Clown, you know, that's getting a little, you know, they ought to be feeling a little bit uncomfortable with that. The fact is the people have a right to elect people that they choose into positions. That the Bozo the Clown could be elected to any position. It's not just city clerk. So does this mean we should just do away with all the elected positions and just have Kurt Starman appoint the city council also? Well, I tell you what, when there's a void, a staff member will step up, and they will. They'll start appointing. They'll start taking the power. That's why you need a strong city council. But to say that, you know, let's take it away from the people is wrong. And I completely disagree with the people that voted for this, which was Dickerson, Ms. MacArthur, and Mary Stiegel. No, we need the ability to vote and to put people into office. Some of our problems, I am positive of, have come because we have appointed positions, and they appointed people themselves instead of the city council getting into it. This morning's rant. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
Taxpayer.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Lindebot. Good morning. It's 7:24. It's about 53 degrees, 52 degrees. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Now let's go to the phones. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Carl and Linda. How are you doing?
We're wonderful. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
What's going on?
We have the Anderson River Park Century coming up this weekend, 100-mile bike ride. We've got 300 people coming in from all over the western United States, L.A., southern Oregon, and they're going to be doing a nice, tough ride up on the east side of town, 100 miles.
Hey, where do you start?
Start at Anderson River Park, hence the name. Supported by the Parks and Rec Department in Anderson, and they go down through downtown Cottonwood and then head up to Shingletown, Whitmore, Oak Run, and come back down in through Millville. 8,000 feet of climbing on the 100-mile course, but we have a 25, a 40, and a 60-mile course. Almost anybody can do those rides. We feed you good out on the course, and then again, when you get back to the park, we have a nice... Monty Monolero puts on a great Italian dinner for us.
And this is a fundraiser. And so how do people enter this, or do they?
You can go to centurybikeride.com. There's registration online. Or go to any of the bike shops in town. They have registration forms. And you can register right up to the day of the event. You can just show up at the park. The shorter courses go off at 9 o'clock. And just show up a little before then and sign up right there at the park.
So these are all level of exercise in this,
all,
too.
All levels of ability. There's only about 400 feet of climbing on the 25-mile course. It stays here on the valley floor. Probably the toughest hill is the one between Anderson and Cottonwood, going up over Kimberly Road. And I rode it myself on Saturday. Almost anybody can do it. We've had an 8-year-old on a BMX bike do the 25-mile course.
Okay.
So it's a great event. It is to benefit four different Lions clubs, and our club, the Enterprise Lions Club, is still putting out a good amount of effort to keep that giant flag flying, and some of the proceeds will be going towards keeping that flag up there on that pole.
And it's a good thing.
And how do they get a hold of you?
You can call me at 941-9977. That's my cell phone. It's on all the time. Or go to centurybikeride.com, and if you want to email me, there's a link from the website, and there are maps and registration all set on the website.
Great.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Good luck on your ride.
Thank you. It's a great one. And we're not going to be 100 degrees like we were last year.
There you go. That's always
I love
a plus.
It. Thank you. Bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
And our special guest in the studio today is Judy Gamma. We have a few minutes before the break, so we're going to cover a few things and then come back and cover a few things more. But Judy is with the American Legion Auxiliary. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
And you've got a poppy drive going on. Let's go there first, and then when we come back to the break, we'll talk about the American Legion.
Okay. Our yearly poppy drive started yesterday. It was a fun-filled day at all of our local markets. There were hundreds of people, thousands that donated. We figure that there will be over 25 million people wearing poppies.
Okay, now what does the poppy represent?
The poppy is a memorial poppy, and it represents, each part of the poppy represents something else. The red part of the poppy represents the blood that our veterans have given over the years. The black part is for the mud and the stench. And the green represents all the wooded areas that they were at. And it's just a living memorial. And so once a year, we ask people to wear it, especially on Memorial Day, and to help donate. We don't sell the poppies. We freely give them away. But any donations are gladly taken, and they are in turn, all the resources that we get from that are given back to our community, except for a portion that are actually given to the veterans that make them. Every single poppy is made by a veteran in hospital, in a veteran's hospital. So every poppy is different. What is the most frustrating thing that we have is when people see our poppies, we're handing them out, and they say, oh, we're not interested. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Because you want to go into a little more detail about...
Well, they think that they've got to give money.
And they're not made in China.
And they're not.
Made by veterans and for people to wear and support and thank our veterans.
Yes. So we will be doing that all week, especially this coming Friday and Saturday. Look for us at all of our local markets. And just wear that poppy with pride to show your support. You may not support the war, but support our veterans.
Well, that's been the whole thing.
Thank you. And we got to take a break. But coming back, we're going to be talking more with Judy Gamma regarding the American Legion. And I find it fascinating about the poppy. You know, it just buy a poppy, whatever you can give, but the poppy, wear it with pride. But we got to take a break here, and we'll see you on the other side. This is Carl and Linda Bott here.
You know, also when we come back, we're going to have our interview with Carl Rove. On the other side of this break, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming out on KCNR1460.com.
Our guest this morning is Judy Gamma from American Legion Auxiliary. Tell us about the American Legion, Judy.
Well, I'll tell you about the American Legion Auxiliary. We are simply a patriotic group. We support the post, which is now made up of not only men veterans, but women veterans, so they're also welcome. We really are a service organization. We work with the clinic. We help provide and raise money for things down at the clinic. We work with the veterans' recovery home here. We work with the rescue mission. We send cards, letters, boxes of goodies that our servicemen overseas need. We have different programs for children who mothers or fathers are overseas. We have special backpacks for them. They're called Little Hero Backpacks, and we get into those. We work with the Huggy Bears with the police department here in town. We work with the memorial program on Memorial Day. We pass out poppies for that. We have our poppy program. We give Christmas dinners. We have fundraisers. We have our annual rummage sale, which is coming up in July. And anybody that's interested in getting a table for that, all of the funds from that go to children here in Shasta County. They can get a hold of me at 244-2144. We assist all veterans, whether they're homeless or not. We provide rides. We help them get their medications. We work with the stand down. We have about 30 or 40 things that we work with and do. We work with the archery, we work with schools. We work with Simpson University. We provide and make cookies for their kids when they go on holidays. We are support systems. We're mentors for them. Benefits for belonging to the American Legion. Benefits for belonging to the American Legion is you can get scholarships. Children get scholarships. We'll help you move. You get 50% off. It goes on and on. So
wow.
If anybody's interested, feel free to call us.
Okay, well, we want to encourage you that when you see these ladies and gentlemen selling the red crepe paper
poppy.
They're
not selling. They're giving out and asking for donations.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay.
Never sold. When they're giving them out and you can give whatever kind of donation you want, I want you to visualize that each one is handmade exclusively by hospitalized veterans from the World Wars, Korean War, Vietnam War, the Panama conflict, the Persian Gulf War, Grenada and Lebanon. I just realized that when you think about your veterans in the hospital, they're hand-making these poppies. I think that puts a whole different feeling about behind what we're doing here.
They're not wired in China and brought in. So,
no.
You know, we fully support this. And
thank you so much
for coming in today.
Thank you for supporting our veterans.
Absolutely.
You're so faithful.
Well, you know, without them, we would not have the country we have now. We wouldn't be able to say the things. We wouldn't be able to have the freedom, the absolute freedoms that we enjoy here. And I like you, you know, people don't like war. I mean, people who've been in wars hate wars. And it's not the warrior, though, that if there's anger that it should be directed at. It should be directed at if you have anger, if you have all these questions, should be to the ones that send them there and keep them there. The warriors that are out there have put their lives on the line for what they believe in.
Community needs to remember that freedom is not free.
There you go.
It isn't. And, you know, sometimes it's a trite saying until you see the name of somebody from our community that's been injured or
Absolutely.
Killed. Anyway, so thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Judy.
We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we have an interview with the architect of the, as some people say, of the President Bush years. And he's going to talk about legacies, talk about what was going on during those years. He's going to talk about what's going on now. That's Carl Rove will be our guest after this break.
Hi, I'm Shasta County.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's Monday morning. It's 7:43.
Weather today is going to be, of course, showers with a high of 54. So weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Well, we had the pleasure of talking to Carl Rove yesterday. He called the station. It wasn't his underlings or people around him. He called. Hey, this is Carl Rove. Set up via the people from the Jim Nielsen group. And we appreciate this, and we appreciated the fact that he called. And we had an opportunity to talk to him about a number of different things.
Including his book, Courage and Consequence, My Life as a Conservative in the Fight, his new book that he's here. It's a sold-out event today, but he is in town actually right now giving a speech and signing books. So he's going to be leaving for Sacramento immediately after his event today. But we were lucky enough yesterday. We felt just really great to be able to talk to Carl Rove.
Okay, let's go.
Rove, thank you for joining Linda and I on Free.
You bet. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. And again, welcome to the North State, and have a great trip here.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
That was Carl Rove in an interview we had with them. We now join Fox News in Progress on KCNR, Shasta Redding. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We stream at KCNR1460.com, and you can send emails to Linda at KCNR1460.com.
90% of showers today, high of 54, currently 806. We've got two tickets to give to you for the 62nd annual Reading Rodeo. That's this Thursday night on May 13th. Two free tickets here at KCNR on the Free Fire Show this morning. 605-4567 is our hotline.
First person to call gets the phone.
That's
gets the
right.
Tickets.
And we also want to tell you that congratulations and thank you so much for our new sponsor, Country Kitchen. Hit in there. There's a new remodel. It's our favorite place to go have breakfast in town.
17 years in the same spot. Charlie and Lynn Moss have put a lot of work into this, and the food there is just outstanding. The on-premises bakery, fresh soups, fresh sandwiches, everything that is made there is made fresh for you. You can make your own omelets to order. That's Country Kitchen. It's just north of Macy's on Hilltop.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting time in our country right now. Elections are all over the place, and you're hearing political ads, and we're all paying, a closer attention to who's running, and want to have a hand in our political process. And we're very fortunate to have a special guest with us this morning,
Larry Naratelli, who is running for governor for the state of California. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How are you?
Welcome to our show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, you may not be as well known as some of the other candidates, but you are in the fight.
I am in the fight, and I'm getting more well known day after day.
We're okay. That was another line there.
Okay. Yeah, getting more well known day after day. Every place I go now, people say, "Hey, I've heard of you. I've heard of you." And they get really excited when I come out there to speak. So I think the message is spreading. We have lots of people up and down the state working for us, and they're all volunteers, by the way. They're not paid staffers. And the message is getting out. So I'm very confident that this is going to be a great victory on June 8th.
Well, Larry, give us some background on who you are. Give us a picture of you.
Sure. I moved to California in 1979. I graduated Northeastern University in Boston, grew up in central Massachusetts. My mother, when I was growing up, used to take me to all of the historic places of the Revolutionary War, Bunker Hill, the USS Constitution, Fort Ticonderoga. It was a great place to grow up, Massachusetts, because you get to see where the revolution really started, took place, Paul Revere, the Old North Church. So that's kind of ingrained in me. I moved to California in 79. I have a degree in business administration management, a little background in power systems engineering also. And I started working out here for different manufacturing companies as a cost accounting budget administrator, and moved up to accounting manager and controller in various manufacturing companies. And one of the things that's happened to me over the last 30 years is the jobs that I had, they just kept getting transferred out of state. So it's kind of unfortunate when you're very successful and you get a company working really well and you get the department really cleaned up and things are running smooth, and then somebody comes in and buys the company out and moves all the jobs out of state. So after that happened the last time, after we took CardioNet public in 2008, I just decided, you know, somebody's got to go to Sacramento and tell these guys they're doing something wrong. They need to bring jobs back into the state as opposed to have them go out of state. So I started getting involved in the Tea Party movements last year, started protesting against the water restrictions on our farmers. And these water restrictions are throughout the state, not just in the Central Valley, but the Central Valley was the more publicized one last year. Also oppose AB 32, the cap-and-trade bill, because that's crippling jobs. And I've met so many people who are getting their jobs taken out of the state, or their business has to move out of state because of the taxes and regulations and fees that are put on them by these administrative bureaucracies in Sacramento. So I think it's time we changed that and we made this state business-friendly again. You know, we have a great workforce here in California, and we need to bring those jobs back.
Well, the things that you were talking about, the points you're making about business in the water are paramount to the people up here in the North State, as you know. Larry, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we want to discuss, just how you would do this. And what would be the mechanics that you would put in place to see some of these things would happen if elected. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading. It's KCNR1460.com. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. 605-4567 is a hotline. We are really, really just completely fired up. We've got Lawrence Naratelli, who is running for governor, on the line right now. We're streaming across the United States. And if you want to call in, ask Lawrence Naratelli, who's running for governor, any questions, please do so. At the break, I didn't quite catch it, but when do you plan on coming up to the Great North State, Lawrence?
Well, I've been up there several times just recently in the last few months. I'm not going to be able to get up there before the primary again, but after the primary, after I win the primary, we're planning to travel the whole state again, and we're going to be doing rallies and barbecues. So I would expect sometime in late June or early July that I'll probably be back up there.
Okay. Now, you said that you're running against, of course, for the Republican nomination against Steve Poizner and Meg Whitman. What sets you apart from these two, who all are claiming to be the most conservative?
Well,
I'm the
more conservative. I'm the real conservative and the real Republican on the ballot. There are many differences between myself and them. For instance, Ms. Whitman on AB 32, she wants to suspend it for a year, but then she believes we should control greenhouse gas emissions. I don't think we need to control greenhouse gas emissions. Greenhouse gases are green. Global warming is a fraud, and climate change is a hoax. And we need to make sure we abolish any law such as AB 32 that's based on that, because it hurts our economy, it cripples our businesses. We need to make sure we stand firm on that. That's one of the most important things. It's really a threat to our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, because it's an attempt by foreign interest groups to create a foreign treaty that takes power away from our elected representatives. So I'm pretty strong and pretty firm on that one. Mr. Poizner, obviously in the past, he supported Planned Parenthood. He supported tax increases, getting rid of Proposition 13. So I'm against those. I support Prop 13, and I'm a pro-life candidate. There's several other differences between me and those other candidates. I try and want to focus on just who I am, what I represent, what I stand for, which all can be seen on my website, Naratelli2010.com, and you can see a lot of the details there.
You know, Larry, as many have come before you, you don't have a lot of experience in elected positions. Do you see that as a hindrance or as a help?
Well, I think that's a good thing at this point in time. You know, we've seen our elected officials tend to sway away from representing the people in some cases. So, in fact, as I've gone up and down the state, people have told me that that's probably a positive thing, because they don't want someone who's a career politician. They want someone who's just like them, one of the people. And you know, a lot of the things that I talk about are things that most everybody says the same thing to me back. They are in complete agreement with me, and they are, because those are the concerns that are on their minds, and they're puzzled as to why the politicians in Sacramento and in Washington are just not listening to the people right now. So I'm here. I'm just one of the people. I'm representing them. Another difference between myself and those other two, of course, is I'm not a billionaire, but I am campaigning and getting support just by going out and being part of the people. So I'm going to win the election without spending billions of dollars with attack ads against my opponents.
Well, okay, one of the things that we have got an email that's come in from a listener. Could you please expound on your thoughts of immigration and what you would do if elected governor, how you would handle that situation?
Well, that's a very serious problem right now, and I think the Arizona governor needed to do what she did to help protect her borders. There's a lot of crime in Arizona there. You've seen ranchers getting killed. We need to make sure we support our sheriffs and our law enforcement officials that are down at the border, the border control, and back them up if we have to with every means possible. Make sure we have the resources for them. The other thing we need to do is address the financial incentives that are bringing illegal immigrants across here. You know, when I go out and I talk to people, I always ask them, everyone in the crowd, to raise their hands if they have free health care. And there isn't anyone who has free health care in any of the crowds that I go to. And so my point is if they don't have free health care, if Americans don't have free health care, then illegal aliens shouldn't have free health care either. So we have to address the financial incentives that are being given to illegal aliens that most Americans don't get. And if we have to, we should charge back, develop methods to charge back the country of origin, collect those costs and charge back the country of origin for the cost of caring for these illegals that come over here. We have to make sure people live by our laws. We have to enforce our laws. And recently, over the last several weeks, we've seen these protests, these May Day protests, where people are waving a flag other than the flag of the United States of America, and that really upsets me very much. I think it's very important that if somebody comes here and wants to be part of our country, then they have to be part of our country. They have to pledge allegiance to our flag, and they have to do it by following our laws. You know, we have a lot of legal immigrants in this country who come here legally, who pay the fees, who go through the process, who take that oath to become a citizen. And it's disrespectful to them for the illegal aliens to come in here and try and undercut that process.
Okay. We're on the phone is Mr. Larry Naratelli, who's running for governor, a conservative on the Republican from the Republican Party, running for his nomination from his party. We've got to take a couple-minute break here. When we come back, we'll continue our questions with the man running for governor of California. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Chef.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Tobacco and Brew is one of the finest tobacco emporiums in California. Espresso Joe's will give you the coffee of your choice at a great price. And after you get your brew in your hand, you go next door, turn on your computer for that free Wi-Fi. Joe and Shelley have a great place to go to, a great place to visit, and they support our veterans. They support our town. That's Tobacco and Brew, so much more than just a tobacco emporium on Hilltop Drive. Our guest is Larry Naratelli, running for the Republican nomination so he can run for governor. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, and I'd like to say you may see me by the Tobacco and Brew up there. I've been by there. So.
Well, you know, I know that you are an active member of the Tea Party.
Yes.
I know that we have heard of you via the Tea Party movement up here in Brenning.
In fact, somebody approached us from the Bostonian Tea Party with who you're about, and said, you got to hear about this guy. So that's good news.
That is good news. In fact, those are the people that I meet when I go up there, and there's a couple different tea parties up there, and I've met with both of them, and you know, it's very important. You mentioned the veterans also. You know, the veterans in our country really need to are the ones. They're the ones coming out to be part of the tea parties, and they see what's happening in our country. You know, they fought for our country. And the ones that are not with us anymore who died for our country, they fought for our flag. And it's very important that we go out to the tea parties and we support the veterans, because they're the ones that kept us free, that fought for us to be free. And that's what the Tea Party movement is all about. It's about limited government, fiscal responsibility, and free market capitalism, and standing up for the Constitution of the United States. And when our representatives take an oath of office, it's to the to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, and we want to make sure that's happening, because if our veterans are putting their lives on the line, then our representatives better be doing it too.
We got an email from a gentleman that said, please tell Larry Naratelli that the Tea Party's up here support him, working hard to get him elected. You are also endorsed by, is it Icaucus? They're a group,
Icaucus,
that poses 80 questions to candidates, and then from those answers, the members vote to endorse the candidate or not. Could you explain that?
Well, the Icaucus has a process that they vet candidates to check and see how well they would uphold the Constitution and where they stand on their conservative values. I went through that process back in January. I actually met people from the Icaucus last year when I was going out to the Tea Party movements, and some of them were the ones that kind of encouraged me to run for governor. Not kind of, but actually encouraged me to run for governor when they were talking, because they say they like to support candidates that are conservative, that are constitutionally based candidates. And as we got through the year, and as I continued to work with the Icaucus and the Tea Parties all up and down the state, people came up to me and said, look, we'd like you to represent us in office and see if we can get behind you and have a grassroots movement. And when that happened, of course, I told them, well, we're up against a couple of Goliaths there. You know, you have two people with lots of money to spend, so I'll be happy to do that, and I think we have to do it as the voice of the people, so that we can get through this process and get someone in there who's really truly representing our values. So that's what the Tea Parties are about. That's what Icaucus is about, and it's just really an honor to be the person that's running and representing the people of this state. We've got great people all up and down the state.
Hey, Larry, we just have like about 2 minutes left on this, so I'm going to ask a quick question. How do you plan on working with a Democrat-controlled assembly and Senate?
Well, I'm going to run to get conservatives elected as we run through the regular campaign to November. So we're going to change a little bit of that makeup. But, you know, I've been able to work well with people all up and down the spectrum in the past. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to do is make sure I stay true to my values. And, you know, instead of always giving in to a Democratic-controlled legislature, maybe it's time that we stood firm on what the conservative values are. Our current governor has not done that as enough, I think. I think he's given in way too much on certain issues, such as the water. And we want to stand firm, and as if we stand firm, then that's they're going to come my direction as opposed to going the other way. At least that's what the plan is. And I think I have some pretty good sound ideas and sound policies, which people can see on the website. And these are solutions that'll fix the state and get the budget balanced and get our economy going again. And everybody's going to want to be part of that winning team, no matter what party they're in.
Well, let's hope so. We're going to have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk to you about Constitution, Second Amendment, and health care when we come back in our last segment. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reddy, and currently 52 degrees. It's 8:34 in the morning, going to be high today of 54. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We're taking your calls this morning. The hotline is 605-4567. Our guest is Lawrence Naratelli, who is running for governor 2010. Back on the phones with you. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. It's a great morning. I hope it's nice weather up there. It's beautiful down here in Carlsbad.
Well, you know what? It looks like we're going to get rain today. In fact, I think the weather rock is wet, and it looks like maybe some thunder showers. But we should be clearing up because it looks like this weekend is going to be great. And this is the week of the Reading Rodeo. So that's a big event
here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, Larry, one of the things that one candidate said is they thought that the Constitution was a living document. Living document. Your comments on that?
Well, our founding, it's the fundamentals that our country are based on. I'm not sure if it changes other than through the amendment process. So As far as a living document, that's an interesting term, but I'd like to say that the Constitution is what everything we have, all of our freedoms are based on. Our God-given rights are immortalized in that document, and I'd like to make sure that we stay true to it and it doesn't get changed or adjusted without going through the constitutional process of a formal amendment. So we want to stick to the principles that our founding fathers gave us, and we want to stand up for the fundamentals that made our country the greatest country in the world.
Well, you know, the one of the other things, too, is that it seems to be, and it's, you know, it's, we have the right to bear arms, own and bear arms, given to us by the Second Amendment, yet California seems to keep chipping away at this right. What can you do to reinstate the rights of gun owners in this state?
Well, I will be there to reinstate the rights. One of the things that's been chipping away is the attempt to use the environment to cut back on ammunition or to raise prices on ammunition. For instance, they've tried to ban lead bullets, saying it's bad for the environment. You know, the lead came out of the environment, so going back into it isn't going to hurt anything. So I think we need to be very careful, and this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. There is an attempt to try and undermine our Constitution throughout many different avenues in this country right now, through the illegal aliens that are coming in here, through the global warming climate change hoax, through the use of the Environmental Protection Agency. And all of these things are tied together. All of these things are meant to weaken our country from within, to weaken our manufacturing base, and to try and undermine our freedoms. And we have to make sure we stand up for our right to bear arms, and we support our right to bear arms. And you know, I will stand firm on that, because our first, second, third, fourth, all those first 10 amendments, those Bill of Rights, are critical to all of our freedoms that we have. And all of the other amendments after it, of course, weren't affecting those principal rights, but were to change other aspects that we needed to have changed as we went along. But the first and second amendments are critical. And the 10th, 9th, and 10th Amendments also. So there's none that are not critical, but we definitely have to stand firm, because our right to bear arms is what protects us from tyranny, and we have to stay firm on that one.
Well, you know, you mentioned the EPA, you mentioned, you know, a number of committees in California, but also at the federal level, that are working to weaken, as you put it, the maybe the Constitution. Is this a concerted effort, or is this just people trying to do what they think is right that is just weakening our resolve and the Constitution?
No, it's a concerted effort. I mean, make no mistake about it. There are individuals in our government who want to change our constitutional rights. They want to take things away from us. They believe big government is better than having the people make the final decisions. So I think it's You can't go into denial of the fact that there are people, there are progressive interests who are trying to change the fundamental values of our country, and we have to stand up to them wherever they are if they're in office. That's why it's the governor of California is so important that we have someone in that office who is going to stay firm for the people. Because if that's one area that we have a lot of good authoritative voice throughout the nation, if not just here in California, to stand up for our rights and to stand up to the legislature. You know, we cannot weaken our Constitution, because as it gets weakened, then our whole nation is threatened. You look at the water, you look at oil, you look at all of these different issues that are trying to undermine our economy. If our economy collapses, first of all those government employees, they'll lose all their pensions, they'll lose their jobs. Right now we have a threat to our police and our fire, because the budgets are being cut to save money, so that they, and that is affecting our ability to protect ourselves. And then, of course, you have interests such as these illegal alien groups that are trying to create and foment a revolution in our country. All of this is connected. All of the global warming fraud, the environmental laws, the illegal aliens, it's all connected. It's an attempt to weaken us from within, because after the first Persian Gulf War, two things were apparent. One is the United States could not be defeated militarily, and two, statism, socialism, and communism bankrupted countries from within, and they all collapsed. So the enemies of our country realized that the best way to take us down is to try and take us down from within. So we have to stay firm on that.
So who are these enemies?
Well, I'm not going to get specific on any of the enemies. Just recognize that they're out there, and I would like to say names, but I'm just going to say there's foreign interests that are working against the interests of the United States. They work through the United Nations. They work through the IPCC. They work to get into our banking system, to change our banking laws, to cause certain things to collapse, to drive down our real estate prices. So these enemies are there, and there are influences. I will say this, if you look at some of these illegal alien groups that are trying to foment revolution in our country by inciting riots or inciting groups like La Raza, I mean, you can see it's a concerted effort all over the place trying to get communism and socialism in here. I'll say one person who's an enemy, Michael Moore. He's an enemy of this country.
Okay. Michael Moore has made several quasi-documentaries concerning banking and healthcare and big business in the country.
He's against capitalism, and I support capitalism, and I don't think Michael Moore has the best interests of the people of this country in mind. I think he's got his own interests in mind. I'll give you another person who I really think has betrayed his country, and that's Al Gore. Because global warming is a hoax, and it's a fraud, and it has no basis in scientific reality, and he has worked with the IPCC and other foreign interest groups to try and undermine our economy. So there you have two specifics.
Okay, Larry, thank you very much. This is Lawrence Naritelli, who's running for the Republican, to be the Republican candidate to run for governor here in 2010. This is Carl Underbach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Larry Naritelli. He is running to be the Republican candidate to run for governor this year for 2010. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
It's great to be back again.
You know, one of the things that you talked about was the education. We wanted to decentralize the decision-making process away from the government and put it right back down into the school systems. In Shasta County, we have 23 superintendents in our county, and we don't have a large county.
There's a lot of things that have to be done in the education system. Statewide, we have a lot of, you know, administrative positions and high-level administrative positions. I'm not talking about the local clerks that support the principals at the school, but high-level administrative positions that we really need to reorganize some of those things. We also, one other thing that I would really like to do with the education system is kind of reinstitute some of our trade school educational programs, because there has to be an avenue for those who aren't fortunate enough to go to college to be able to become part of a productive workforce. And we've kind of lost our trade skills or trade schools over the last 20 to 30 years. So we want to kind of improve that area also.
Well, we have a regional occupation program schools up here that seem to be doing a good job. Now, there's, of course, the argument is always about money. And we just saw where Paradise School District is cutting out their athletics. Here for by the year 2012-13, they're going to completely cut out their athletics because of the lack of funding.
Yeah, and you know that lack of funding comes from one area, the collapse of the economy, the collapse of the jobs in the state. You know, all of the funding that comes to the state comes from the taxpayers, the private sector taxpayers and the businesses who are paying for all of these services, goods and services. So as our jobs leave the state, then the funding goes away. So we really need to get our economy back on track. We need to cut tax rates, cut corporate tax rates and individual tax rates, and we need to stop creating these fines and fees that are punishing the businesses. You know, every time they increase tax rates, it slows down the economy, and it doesn't make the budget any better. It actually makes it worse. If you've looked at the tripling of the vehicle license fees here, over the last year or so. That's just taking more money out of the economy. It's less money for people to have to buy goods and services, so it slows down the private sector, which causes more of a loss in revenues to the state. So it's a real simple concept that was taught to us by Ronald Reagan. I mean, it's been around for many years, but he reinstituted that, and it works very well. So we have to get our businesses going again if we're ever to hope to get our funding back for these vital programs. The other thing is we cannot keep giving tax credits for things like windmills and solar panels that are inefficient forms of energy, because that's taking money away from our schools, taking money away from our fire and police, and it's putting into systems that actually lose money. You know, if a system can't stand on its own, the government subsidies for it don't make it profitable. They just cause the taxpayers to pick up the losses. So we have to stop that. You know, if something is a money-losing business, if it can't stand on its own, if you can't have a windmill make money on its own without driving up our electric rates, then it shouldn't be done. And, you know, a government that puts $3 million into one windmill that gives us electricity at 50 cents a kilowatt hour is taking police vehicles away from the police departments, taking athletic programs away from the schools. So there's a whole bunch of these different diversionary things, so-called tax credits for renewable energy systems, that are actually really harming our economy and harming our services that we have.
Okay, Larry, we've reached the end of our segment here. Can you tell our listeners how to get a hold of you and how to join up in your campaign?
Well, they can go to my website, Naratelli2010.com. There's a custom form submission that they can click on, and they can send an email in directly to me. There's also an address on there if they would like to write in to that address to get in touch with us. I'm also on Facebook, Naratelli for Governor 2010, and there's a Northern California's supporting Larry Naratelli for Governor and Southern California's supporting Larry Naratelli for Governor on Facebook also. Also, I'm on Facebook as Larry Naratelli. That's where most of the information comes in from my campaign, and people get into discussions there. We send out flyers for people if they want information on that. So those are some of the basic ways that you can get in touch with me. Check out the website. You'll see all my ideas. You'll see what I stand for on that website. And I'm also going to be traveling up to San Luis Obispo later today. I'll be meeting with some of our police and fire officials and doctors and nurses to discuss the problems facing this state. And also, you can see on my website where I'm going to be going over the next couple of days.
Okay, your interview here on our show is also archived. If you just go to Free Fire Radio, people will be able to listen to this, and you, of course, have our permission to pull that and use it as you wish.
I appreciate that. It was great to be part of your show here today. Thank you for letting me come on, and God bless America. Don't stop believing, and we're going to win on June 8th, and I'm looking forward to everybody's support.
Our guest today has been Lawrence Naratelli, who is running for governor 2010. He is running in the Republican primary. Best of luck to you with this endeavor, which it truly is. And again, thank you for being on Carl and Linda Bott's Free Fire Radio show. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful campaign trail.
Thank you, I will, and we're going to bring this state together again.
Great, thank you. This is Carl Lindebaugh on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We're going to take a couple of breaks here, and then we're going to come back and talk about the rest of our week. We have a week that will keep you riveted. Yes, that's the word, riveted, to your seat and your fingers on the phone. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, clearly News Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Yeah, man's last stronghold. Not going to find gel, not going to find hair dryers. DC Tim and the Man in Black are the ones that you want to have cut your hair. It's a great place to go to. Great conversation. And like they say on the glass, man's last stronghold. At Cypress Square Barbershop, right down there off Athens.
Yeah. It's 8:55 in the morning. It's going to be in the mid-50s today. 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms, so be careful. Wear your little overcoat. We have a caller on the line. Good morning. Welcome to KCNR. This is Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, Linda. How are you doing?
We're great.
Good. Good to talk to you, Carl.
Great.
Anyway, the reason I'm calling is tonight at the Reading Tea Party on Bonneview Baptist Road at Bonneview Church, we're going to have Randall Faulkner and Connie Ragnell debating the city auditor position.
Well, that ought to be interesting.
It'll be great. And just to explain, well, the thing is, it should be. I've heard that their other debates have been fascinating. So anyway, tonight, the way we lay out our debates is we have 8 questions, 4 of which are given to the candidates ahead of time, the other 4 are not. And the reason we do that is if you have 300 people at every meeting, then you have a situation where it's difficult to get everybody's question in. However, when we're done, we have classrooms behind the church that we meet at, and each particular candidate can go in that room. They each have a room to go to, and if you want to ask them any question at all, you can go into that room and ask them. Usually 40 to 50 people can fit in a room. So it's kind of nice. We can give them the best of both worlds, and it was simply the best venue we could come up with because of the amount of people that we have.
Well, that seems to work.
It has. Be nice to see you there sometime.
We've been there.
When?
Yes.
We wander. Well, at the old place you were at. You know, we go to.
When you're at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, we wander through there at the
okay.
Holiday Inn, and we, you know, we go through there.
I must be having a senior moment, buddy. That's all. You know, that's it.
Okay, thanks a lot, Terry. And that's tonight at 6 p.m. at the
Bonneview Baptist Church.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right, you too. Have a great day.
Yeah, we'd love to.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
We love to.
We go to all the tea parties.
Yeah,
meetings.
And you know what? We love
we
the action.
Through there.
We love to see the action happen.
Okay.
You know, bring it forward.
You know, today we had Carl Rove on, and we're going to play him again this week. But this week is going to be pretty busy. Tomorrow we have Russell Hunt running for county clerk. He'll be on tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Then on the 12th, we're going to have the Asphalt Cowboys and Miss Rodeo. But at 8 o'clock, Corky Harmon, who's running for the 5th District. Then on Thursday, we're having the Secretary of State of California running for the Republican nomination, Orly Tates. You may know her from the fact that she is the lawyer that has put so many lawsuits against Barack Obama, trying to have him prove that he was born in the United States. Yeah, so she kind of heads up the birther movement, but she also wants to be Secretary of State for California.
We also have foster parenting on because it is Foster Parent Month.
That's right. We're going to be talking about the co-op, the food co-op that's starting. That'll be tomorrow. But and then Friday, of course, is the pancake breakfast. We're going to be down there on a remote. So you got to come on down, and when you're having your pancakes.
Break in the weekend.
Yeah, stop by and see us. And tomorrow we're going to be giving out, of course, tickets to the rodeo.
So it's going to be a beautiful week.
It's a big week.
Just to get through this Monday with the rain and just be glad that you're breathing. And we love being here in the North State. And thank God the lake is full.
The lake is full. The streams are flowing. And you know what? This is going to be the rest of the week. It's going to start clearing up so that this weekend for the rodeo and the parade is just going to be absolutely fantastic. So, big week. Stay tuned here. Take a look at our website. We'll see everything that's going on. This is Carl and Linda Bott for Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.